kicks centre bounce and the ruckman crash on him.
When you get smashed in centre bounce, it just puts you on the back foot.
Crawley, Jordy McKenzie, all on the wing. McDonald runs with the football. Tyson takes it. Handball the body.
They're moving the ball as well as any. When you get time and space and their willingness to really go fast.
They are so pure, so beautiful to watch with the footy.
On Halftime, Pure Footy.
Good to have the boys on a Thursday afternoon for Champion Data's 2015 AFL Prospectus. Check it out at the website, championdata.com.au, all good bookstores. You can even pop into the front office still and say hi to Luffy as you pick one up. It's gold embossed. It's fantastic. And, of course, our good friends at berriesonline.com.au, the bestest, freshest, whole bestest fruit in the whole world from them. And, of course, JPC Carpentry's come on board this year in 2015. We're wrapped about that. Rebuilding the North one pergola at a time. Boys, good afternoon.
Daniel, how are you?
Very well.
Great to be here, Luffy.
Daniel, good to see you, boys.
I love the intro today. It's the best one you've done all year.
Yep. Do you like Nick Cummins? Have him every day. Yeah. He is a very funny fella.
Do you think he's trying to be? Or do you think he's just...
No, he is trying to be.
Just
sure.
A dude that just says stuff. I'm still trying to work that out.
Yeah, they've got to be planned, don't they?
Otherwise, it's a whole routine. He's sort of making sure he gets interviewed. And I don't know. But interesting man is Nick Cummins, the Honey Badger for the Western Force in Super Rugby. There's a lot of interesting men in the AFL, boys. Let's get straight to it. One of those is Ross Lyon, the coach of the Fremantle Dockers. We know that there's a big, big man crush kingy for Ross from Luffy's point of view.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Bordering on obsessive.
It is. It is. The photo of him, a recent poster addition to the bedroom, was a bit too much, I thought. A little bit off-putting for Alison, but she's learned to put up with it. Last weekend was amazing. Their football is one thing.
Yes.
But he's clearly taking the piss in the post-match now. It's become obvious.
Is he setting the agenda?
He is treating the media over there with absolute contempt. It is amazing what he's throwing at them and they're having to absorb. I think we just need to have a little bit of fun with him today.
Yeah.
Because he is a very serious man. But when he's not serious, he can really light the room up. He's fantastic. He's great for us when we catch up with him pre-game.
Yes, he is on Fox. Yeah.
At halftime, he always gives you something. His press conference last week, he spoke for the first 3 minutes, didn't miss a beat, Daniel.
The beauty of this was, and we, as we always say, we encourage our listeners to get to the AFL website and listen to all the press conferences from the coaches after the games. Now, we know there's 18, but you get some gold out of them. And this was a response to just a statement from a journo. It wasn't even a question. It was a two-word statement. And we ended up with part one from Ross.
I thought our first three quarters were super. A few mitigating circumstances in the last, I'm not worried about it. We just really wanted to spin our backs and we lost them in the third quarter, give them a rest. So we started two on the bench and then we had to muck around with them a bit and then they started winning the ball. And so we were rotating like two forwards off, two backs, and it just left us structurally good all over the shop, which didn't help, but they won the ball pretty well in the last quarter.
So that's part one, just off your starts.
Yeah.
And that's just part one from Ross. We spent some time with Ross through the afternoon.
There were seven messages there in his first 15 seconds, and the media scrum were writing feverishly, they were writing their notes. They weren't sure what they were writing and where he was going to go with it, but it was a good start.
Well, the first three quarters were super. There's mitigating circumstance. We had to spin our backs, which was unfortunate. They started winning a bit of the ball.
That's all I got. We're 30 seconds in, aren't we?
We're at 36 seconds in.
Yeah, okay.
On the back of your starts.
So you're listing exactly what we're covering?
I'm trying to get it down as much as I can in that time.
And the question was? There was no question. Was
it was just your starts.
Your starts, okay.
Yeah. That's the start of that presser. Which leads us into a discussion about Freo, boys. Are they going officially into shutdown, Kingy?
Oh, absolutely they are. Absolutely. We did some numbers during the week. Everyone talks about ground balls.
Luffy's, we love ground balls.
Luffy's former. He's off him now, the Adelaide Crows. But when he was in love with the Adelaide Crows.
4-2. 5-2 this week.
He was talking ground balls, ground balls, ground balls. If you go quarters 1-3, I haven't heard him mention Phil Walsh.
Hasn't been heard for 3 weeks.
If you look at quarters 1-3, Fremantle, even with their opponent's ground ball, which is mid-table, obviously, quarter four when they shut down, they go to 17th in the competition, average 5 less per quarter than their opponents. Defensive transition 4, so their ability to go coast to coast and get that ball inside forward 50. When the game's on, they go 1-4, which is 6th in the competition when they're shutting down, not interested in scoring, not really interested in playing at breakneck speed. They drop to 12th in the competition, closer to 1-5. What they allow against them goes from 3rd in the comp to 13th. The scores difference is the one where you really want to just narrow the focus. First three quarters, they're plus 202 points. Clearly number one in the competition.
Right, okay.
Gives them an average of a six-goal lead at three-quarter time. And the last quarter, they're down 11 points, which is in the bottom section of the comp, about 10th to 11th in the competition. So there's a distinct and definitive decision to shut the game down.
So we've got it under control. We know we can block it up should we need to. So yep. They might get a bit of a run on, but they're not going to get anywhere near threatening.
Doesn't care if they kick one, two, three goals, if they've got a six-goal lead. I don't think he's concerned at all with percentage anymore. I think that's been an obsession for coaches in the past, percentage. But I think when you look at the ladder over the last few years, it has made minimal difference to the top three to four teams. It hasn't really pushed too many teams outside of the top four or outside of the top two. It's generally been you win in 17 games or more and you're finishing top two. You're winning 16, 15, and you're in that next bracket. The way they're positioned now, though, Luffy, they don't need to worry too much about percentage.
No, and so they've got two games and they've still got 25% on the second place team. So they are set up. You talk about the management within game, but the management from week to week, and we know it's been big in the last 3 or 4 years with the expansion teams and Melbourne being a poor side, so there's been a lot of players rested and managed for the finals. Really, they're the only team that can do this at the moment because you got Hawthorn 3-3, Swans are 4-2. So all these teams that want to make top four, each week is super important, whereas the Dockers, 6-0 and 25% on the comp, they'll be the one team that can manage the players, and they probably have to because they've got a lot of key players over the age of 30.
When you look at your fixture there, Daniel, it screams that there'll be a few games late in the year that they may just bring half a team to Melbourne. I think round 19 is St Kilda.
I think it's St Kilda at Etihad Stadium, correct?
That'd be half a team, I'd assume, would come over for that game.
North Melbourne round 21 at Etihad.
Yeah, well, it depends on where they're at then. And then they may say, we need to be on for the last couple of weeks. Now, their last game's Port Adelaide, I think.
Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Round 22 is Melbourne at Paterson Stadium, or Domain Stadium.
So they may say, you know what, we're going to go bang, bang, last 2 weeks of the year, let's really get ourselves going again, make sure we're in good order, rest over that previous month. And like you say, Luffy, there's not many teams are going to be able to do this. So everything right now, but we've been here before a little bit with Port Adelaide when they went 5-0 a couple of years ago, was it?
But that was the year they came from nowhere and no one expected it. So they needed to keep that momentum. This is a seasoned team that has had plenty of finals experience and can afford to do this, I think.
What were they last year? Were they two games clear on top last year at one point?
Who's that?
Port Adelaide? I think they were at one point.
They may have been.
Yeah, and I think it may have been about round 12 before the wheels fell off and they lost, I think they lost seven of their last 12 last year. Yeah. So say it might have been round 14, around there. So that, you know, other teams have had this luxury and maybe haven't handled it as well as what Fremantle can. But given they're obviously based in West Australia, they need this. They actually need this more than a Geelong, more than a Hawthorn, more than even an Adelaide-based team, more than Port Adelaide or the Adelaide Crows, because of the travel factor is such an impost on their ability to recover post-game and prepare for the next, and obviously play finals at home be a huge advantage.
Round 11 last year, Kingy, you are entirely correct. All teams had played 9 games, and they were 8-1. Must be round 10.
Who's that? Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide. Round 10 it was. They were
8-1.
They were 8-1 with a bye in there somewhere.
And what did that? Is that two games clear on top?
It was two games clear.
So I mean, you would have thought.
Sorry, it was round 12. 10-1. 10-1 after 11. Hawthorn were 8-3, along with Sydney and Collingwood and Geelong.
10-1. And was their percentage? What was their percentage like there?
The percentage there was 149.33.
149. Was that how far in front of Hawthorn?
Half a point. A point.
Oh, okay. So they didn't have the luxury of percentage, but they ended up finishing fifth. So their slide was quite dramatic. Yeah. And people will say, well, how can you manage your list when you're two games in front and Port can still go on and finish fifth? But I think the discussion is that we know what Fremantle are. We actually know their experience is number one in the competition. They've got a really senior list. They rested McFarlane last week. I know McFarlane could have played last week. He had a concern or an apprehension with his calf, which last year he had with a hamstring, and said, no, look, I'm just tight. I can feel a bit of aggravation there or something sort of bubbling under the surface. And they played him, and he did his hamstring. So they didn't take that risk this year. He probably knows his body a bit better now. Wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if Pavlich doesn't come to Melbourne for three of the next five trips. Maybe Walters is someone they've got to manage. Ballantyne, just for the fact that he'll probably belt someone. Sandilands, you wouldn't imagine him doing too much travelling over the next sort of 4 or 5 weeks.
So are we saying that Freo now are effectively playing three-quarter footy?
They are, yeah. And I think that it's just a totally different approach we haven't seen before. I mean, the Cats used to say, let's put the game away as quick as we can. Mm. And they decide the game. They might be 5 goals up a quarter time. Game's over, and they could coast to the finish. So they probably did it a little bit, but this is a clear and definitive decision that they came out three quarter time, and I think Ross trusts the group because of their age and because of their maturity that they're able to handle the fact that, okay, we're shutting it down. This is not how we want to play round, you know, minute one next week.
Yep.
But right now it's all situational, and this game's over. Let's not get any injuries or any ongoing effects.
In the first halves, they've won 11 of 12 quarters with a percentage of 213. Which is 70% above any other team. So, extraordinary first halves.
Yep.
And Essendon actually dominated the first 5 minutes last week, but once the Bombers couldn't put it on the scoreboard, it was all Freo for the rest of the first half. So, they're going well. They've got a huge advantage at the stoppages at the moment, Kingy. Last year, they were plus 3 points on the scoreboard, but this year, they're plus 21, and you know, it's a nice sample size at the moment. So that is an absolute domination. And for years we heard about the Sandilands not getting any value out of him. Well, they do now.
All right, that's Fremantle. Let's have the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway. Let's have a listen. Part two, Ross.
Yeah.
Part two, Ross, coming still into the going. Break. He's still going. He's only 36 seconds in. Let's go to part two.
And then I thought we slaughtered some easy opportunities. Well, we did have a few that just should have been nailed. So focus on the first three quarters. We really wanted to stop it in the midfield. You know, the last few weeks, focus on turning the ball over centre forward. We've really lifted in that over the last couple of weeks. Didn't capitalise on it at all, but it was pretty difficult conditions. Early, I thought a few blokes could have different boots on, but it's so hard to know what they need to wear. So it was a bit slippery. So it got longer than the night went. There was a lot of dew and greasiness. So I know it looked pristine, but it was quite difficult at times. So
25 past 12 on Pure Footy for the Champion Data AFL Prospectus 2015 Gold Embossed Edition. Berriesonline.com.au and JPC Carpentry, one pergola at a time.
Rebuilding. Yeah, rebuilding.
Is he tracking JP?
Well, I know there's been a meeting with Telstra Phoneworks during the week.
No, them again.
They've gone big.
1-300 Smoke O, was that the
number we came up with? We had a few ideas on the old SMS machine.
The SMS machine was on fire.
I'm not sure what we can get. Look, we'll release it next week. I can't release it today because I don't know it.
This hour for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway with Kingy Luffy and Pure Footy. Michael and Geelong, we'll get to him before we just analyse what Ross said pre-break. G'day, Michael.
How you going, guys? My question is to Kingy. He hates small samples, but after one match, he made the statement that St Kilda wouldn't win a game for the rest of the season.
No, I thought they wouldn't win a game from about October last year. That wasn't a small sample issue. I didn't think they'd win a game. I think that they were on the start of a rebuild, and it's been fantastic. Everyone thinks because you make these statements, you don't want them to win the game. I want to see them play well. I want to see the Dogs go well. We want a good competition, and that game last week was great to watch. Strange game.
Very strange game.
But a great game to watch. I think he's done an amazing job, Alan Richardson. And I thought at the start of the year, if they could win one or two, it would be a fantastic result for them. Mm. I'm rapt that they've won a couple.
They're a great example of you can't go the half rebuild or the refresh. I think it's total commitment. It's like when the window is completely shut from a premiership, start again, get the draft picks, get them right, and build from there. Because on the weekend, say Carlton had won, it would have been, oh yeah, but, you know, where are we at? The Saints win, it's like, yes, we've won, but the future, we saw the future with the three Jacks were sensational. Billy Long has come along, Hickey, all those guys.
Biggest winner, David Armitage.
Armitage.
His form this year has been unbelievable. Look at the champion data player rankings.
Oh, here we go.
He was outside of the top 20 clearly last year. He averaged 95 a week.
Yep.
This year, he sits third on the in pecking order. Fourth, averaging 121. That's a huge turnaround.
Very good start.
He's number one in the competition for disposals, number one for uncontested possessions, and top 10 for clearances. It's just the perfect balance. When he gets the ball now, I know a lot of people got problems with his kicking or how it looks or whether it's effective enough, but I tell you what, it's effective all right. If you watch what it actually does, his possessions are actually counting now.
Yeah, and there's some kicks that look really good but don't get it done. So you really have to analyse the kicking a bit more. But they've done a great job. My fear for the Saints this year was that they were going to get a bit worse than last year, which was pretty ordinary, but talk about improvement. They've improved, and to be 2-4 at round six, great effort.
Great effort. Just going back to Ross before the break, slaughtered some easy opportunities. We just want to focus on the first three quarters, focus on turning the ball over centre forward. We're better at that tonight. Difficult conditions.
Were they really?
One of the players to wear some different boots, but I'm not really sure what's ideal at the time. And pristine conditions, but very slippery.
Look pristine.
You were there, Kingy.
Look pristine. Look pristine look from pristine. Ground level.
Yeah, look pristine. But it's very slippery.
Very greasy underfoot.
Very greasy.
Yeah, very greasy.
So we're about a minute in half.
We're about a minute
in. What have we covered? How many topics?
One, two, three, four. I missed one early. Five, possibly six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And has told not one thing about his team and where the actual game was won or lost.
Well, let's go to part three.
Look, something about ball movement was really quick and strong in our tackling. I was really thrilled with the first three quarters. And, you know, last quarter, there's just some reminders if you back off or you fall down in certain areas that, you know, you come under some pressure. So that was okay. But off a short break, travel, strong opposition had been put under pressure.
Ball movement is quick and strong. We like that. Thrilled with the tackling. If you back off, you're vulnerable. And short break turnaround, fatigue.
Yeah.
There's another five or six.
He's far from boring. He is so entertaining.
When I hear one of these, it makes me think, someone's got to him during the week and said, give him the whole playbook this week. Just give him the reverse excuse book and just see what they write.
But the beauty about this, King, it gets better.
It does. There's more to come.
While we're in Perth, can I just chat about the West Coast Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
What have you made of them this year?
Well, going into this last week, their numbers were really impressive. And the tough thing with the draw, the bias of the draw with all the good teams playing each other and the bottom teams playing each other. You didn't know how to read West Coast form, but I think after that GWS result on Saturday afternoon, Kingy, it should have sort of flagged something that the West Coast win against GWS the week before where they held them to a really low score, their form was genuine. Last week we talked about Port's game. They've lost their game. It's unsustainable to have such an inside 50 differential that they had the last 2 weeks. So we should have given West Coast a bit more of a chance last week. They've been great. I mean, this is on the back of McKenzie and Mitch Brown, all these injuries. Defensively, the team defence has been outstanding.
Well, the big change has been their midfield actually having some damage, actually going through the corridor, hitting some targets, being tough enough to withstand what the opposition are serving up. Because last year, to me, they just looked like a midfield that had no real impact. They had good talent by name and draft pick and should be in the prime of their football life, given their age demographic. But the output was really poor. And I think that Adam Simpson's tried to rectify that over this pre-season. And I think it's starting to pay some dividends. I saw Maston do some things last year, or Maston, however you say it. Do some things last weekend, and I thought that's a sign of a genuinely tough midfielder now. To be able to go back with the flight a couple of times. He set up a couple of goals when they were under the pump and got the ball forward. We keep talking about McGovern, the number one intercept player in the comp.
Mitz
has given him just an amazing platform now down back. Best game we've seen Yeo play for West Coast. He was everything for them. So they've got a lot of talent that are able to emerge at their own pace when the stars do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's amazing what a little flip-flop can do. Wellingham goes to defence.
Yeah,
Yeo goes into midfield and playing a bit forward. So he's one of those big midfielders that they targeted. The talk is that Brisbane, that was the one they didn't want to lose, and they lost him. And so he's been a real plus for them. But I like the look of Duggan.
Yeah.
He looks really good.
He runs hard, doesn't he?
Does run hard and can kick the footy. Yeah. They've got Gaff, who should be in the prime, or coming to the prime of his career. So there's a good spread amongst their midfield, which is amazing, because 6 weeks ago we would have said the midfield is the problem at West Coast.
Give us the next couple of weeks, Harvey.
It's not bad. Gold Coast at Domain this week. St Kilda at Etihad. That'll be interesting. Geelong at Paterson at Domain. It says Paterson here. It's Domain. North Melbourne at Blundstone Arena. Essendon at Domain Stadium. And then Richmond at the MCG. It's not a bad five weeks for the bye.
They could set themselves up.
They're serious, they can.
I'm still waiting to see them. Port are a good team, but they're not playing anywhere near their capabilities.
Yep.
I'd still like to see them, and this is going to sound really harsh, beat a good team, whether it's at home or away, I don't care, but beat a really good team in good form. I'd love them.
So have they got any of those teams coming up, do you think? Gold Coast and Kilda, Geelong, North, Essendon?
Well, Geelong are a good team. I mean,
Port at Amy, that's a good win.
Yeah, they're not the Port that we... They're not the 2014
Port. We need to talk about Port after the break. That's what we need to do, because there's a bit of feedback coming from Port Adelaide that things... Well, things are very different, and I'd like to know why. As from the numbers point of view, from the world's greatest footy analyst point of view as well. 27-1. We might come back with some Ross. Not just go into the break with Ross.
There's a contender for talking more Shires than Ross late in the show today.
Is there?
Mm. On 11:16 SEN, halftime with Daniel Harford for boozebids.com.au. Bid, win and save on Australia's largest range of booze and the Photon Tunland, the only ute that comes with the legendary Cummins engine.
They're a really quality team. I think if you go through their team, you know, their levels of talent in front and behind them, one through the midfield, is very, very strong. But I think if you threw Hocking in and Myers into that midfield, you know, they're certainly, their best is very, very good. So we were really, we've been happy with the way we're going, but we're certainly not satisfied. And we didn't play football that was satisfied tonight.
There he is again, Roscoe, after the win against the Bombers. Quality team, Essendon. The levels of talent very, very strong across the board, forward, back, around the footy. Hockey and Myers, their best is very, very good. We're happy, we're not satisfied.
So, Adjourno still hasn't asked a question
No,
still the first, first answer, but it's not an answer to a question.
He's sitting there with his pen, though, it's another and five. He's thinking, what do I write here?
I've got 23 topics.
And none of them anything to do with the game. Why'd you win that game again, Ross? And then
there's still a minute left.
Don't make the mistake, boys, as you know, Luffy, of asking a question that he's vaguely touched on the answer in a previous statement.
Well, I think I've pretty much covered that.
I think I've pretty much covered that one. if you track back through the pressure, you'll find the answer.
Frightening job, Bernard Giorno over there.
Tell me about Port Adelaide, Kingy. What's going on? There's suggestions last week that they're sitting back, absorbing play, and trying to counter, and it's just not working. Their inside 50 differential at the moment is ridiculous compared to last year. What game are they playing?
That's a good question. They've definitely made changes, and Luffy can talk about the forward half versus counter-attack sort of game in a moment. I'm really worried about their contested footy game, and they've gone from top four in the competition averaging almost five a week to bottom four in the competition giving up seven a week. It's a huge swing. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 15 less change you get the opportunity to start.
Yep.
That's a lot. That's a huge amount of opportunity. And given their talent, you give Port the footy, they can make you pay.
So yeah,
15
absolutely.
Less times a week is huge. I know that their hit-out numbers are down. I know that all that can be you can mount a case that that's the issue. They're not getting first look at the footy. But I've just got concerns that they've changed what they're doing in the midfield, and it's really affecting them. I know Vossi's gone in there. This is not questioning what Vossi's doing, but you have to have a look at it and say, is this still Ken's plan that Vossi's running, or is this Vossi's plan that they're having a look at? And I think after 6 weeks, good sample size. We can say that maybe they need to address it. Maybe they need to look at what they're doing with their changes. Are all those contested numbers at the coalface, given the fact their clearance game is now 13th in the competition? Or are they around the ground? Because something needs to change at Port. What they're doing right now is not working.
Why would it be by design, Luffy?
I don't think it's by design. I think that is an issue around the footy. But as Kingy said, if they were a side, if they were winning the footy, generally it got down their end of the ground. And the thing that didn't get recognised with Port Adelaide last year, they were a really high-pressing team. So their ability to turn the ball over forward of centre was one of the best in the competition. It was ranked second in the comp. And But they create a lot of stoppages. So when they went forward, they'd go wide. Unlike Freo that hit the corridor, Port Adelaide go wide. They'd set up, and then they'd set up for that intercept on the half-back line. So they've lost 8 or 9 points from just back, defensive mid-turnover score. So there's 9 points of their 3 goals they're missing. Their inside 50 numbers have gone from plus 10.6 to minus 12.5. So there's a turnaround of 23 inside 50s.
That's every game. That's the average.
On average.
For the first 6 rounds.
And their time in forward half was ranked number one last year at 10 minutes, plus 10 minutes. They're minus 6 minutes this year. So they're 16 minutes differential. But so they're huge differences.
Massive numbers, aren't they? I mean, minus 16 points a week on average already offensively. That shouldn't have dropped too much. You know, you can say what you like about the draw, but they've had a pretty good draw.
And it's a miracle they're 3-3.
And minus 11 points defensively. That's a 5-goal turnaround. That is, you know, a seismic change from where they were last year. There's alarm bells everywhere. They could just become a 5th to 10th team really quickly. If they don't rectify this, when you've got players like Robbie Gray still having an outstanding start to the season, they haven't maximised this new rider injection. They've had a couple of games where he's looked fantastic, but the ruck situation hasn't corrected itself. Lobby looks good forward, but it hasn't done what he has done last year in the ruck so far. Westhoff's a shadow of what he was last year. There's a lot of questions at Port Adelaide, and they need to find some answers quickly.
They've got a good draw the next 2 months, but they have.
Just the next 8 weeks.
I think Rue on Fox Footy penciled him in for the next 8 or 9 wins, and one of the ticks was last week. So,
but the problem is, where are they? I mean, even if they go 7 of 8,
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're down the charts a bit now.
But, you know, I don't think you can do that anymore because the comp is so even. The days of crystal balling 2 months in advance, you stop doing it because it is so even. And we saw last week with all the upsets. So it's definitely coming in. It's going to be really hard for Port to turn this around and actually win the premiership.
Having a look at the top 20 player rankings.
Yes, talk to me. Talk to me.
We've got a couple.
Who are the new breed?
Well, Ebert is the one that's jumped up. He's jumped up from an average of 94 last year to 110, which puts him in the top 20 in the comp. And it's not through anything but just sheer hard work. Yeah. He doesn't do anything spectacular. He's not a great ball winner. He's not a heavy uncontested possession player. He's not an intercept player. It's just sheer hard work. So he's 110. Is on the back of some solid performances. Robbie Gray is probably the one that is there again. I mean, he was the best player in the comp voted by the coaches last year off 111 points on average last year. He's up to 116. And in every game I've seen Port play this year, he's been the only player that's looked likely to swing the game, whether that be forward of centre or in at centre bounces. It's basically those two in the top 20, and that's it. They were hoping for a rider to be in there. They were hoping for Westhoff to play the roughhead role and go back in there. Wines is a massive out for them. I think we underplayed how much that's impacted their midfield.
Yep.
Hartlett's had an interrupted pre-season that's starting to impact him. So there's some issues there, Daniel.
Well, what about some new top liners floating through the game, Kingy?
Well, some heavy change. I'll give you the new ones into the top 20. Mundy's second in the comp. Scotty Thompson, off the back of 4 games, is third in the competition, averaging 121 points. Armitage, we've spoken about. Pendlebury's still there. Shields has spiked. Number one score involvement player in the comp, averaging 12 a week.
That's Dillon.
Sorry about that. A GWS variety. 118 points. The Steiner, big gold Steiner's up there again. Dan Hannery's back. 118 points a week on average. Had a quiet year last year. Had a poor pre-season. But he's back. Lachie Neal into the top 10. Tom McDonald, the centre-half back for the D's.
Good.
I mean, that's the first key position player in the, apart from Goldstein as a ruckman, in the ranking points, averaging 115. And Bontempelli up there at 113. So some new faces. Dyson Heppel and Shane Edwards leaks into that last position in the top 20. So good to see Shane Edwards, who's probably Richmond's best player.
Let's, off the SMS, just talking about Port Adelaide. This is from Anonymous. The answer to Port's issues are spoken about in Ross Lyon's presser. He mentioned everything else. It's got to be in there somewhere. So as we go to the break, he may in fact fix Port's problems in this little grab. Let's have a listen.
We've got an edge about us. We're hungry and we're keen to improve. So in some respects, we really improved tonight in the areas we wanted to, albeit we could have been better. But yeah, we know what we're working on. We liked it. And, you know, I sat at home today and watched all the Bulldogs game.
you know, in awe of them in the first half. They were pretty special. But the young group probably fatigued a little bit, and the Saints really got going and, you know, sat there and watched it to the end. So I understand their very, very best, and I also saw some vulnerabilities and some lessons learnt. So in a sense, we've already spoken to the players about that. We get 8 days to prepare, and we're coming up against a fierce opposition. I think I'd focus on their first 5.5 weeks, not their second half, although there's some learnings out of their second half. And we come through unscathed tonight.
There he is, Roscoe. It's the first 3 minutes of Roscoe's press conference. So I think we're done. There's an edge about us before the break. We're hungry. We're keen to improve. Some respects. We were better. Working hard to get better. I sat down and watched the Bulldogs on the couch today. Yeah, pretty special, the whole game.
I watched the whole game.
They're a young group. They may fatigue late, but we'll pay attention to the first 5.5 weeks. We're off an 8-day break. They're fierce opposition, and although there's some learnings, and we've spoken to the group about that. There's a whole lot going on there.
Now, if a Juno asked him about next week's game against the Bulldogs, what would the answer be?
Oh, come on, Kim. Look, I've got my head in today's game. I can't be worrying about the Bulldogs next week.
It's absolutely gold. We'll lock this up.
Let me get this one out of the way.
What we're saying to the people is just take some time, 10 minutes each week, and just listen to his presses, because they are very entertaining, and he does educate you, but there's some times where you got to sit there and think.
Just trying to get through, filter the information to the good stuff.
But he's the master at the start of the presser, where he just wants to get everything off his chest, and then from there he'll take the questions.
Right.
Don't ask him a question
that he's already addressed.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. The biggest news of the day, boys, footy-wise,
yes,
is in the Age today that the AFL draft may be as per the NFL or the American system, which I love. And we've been talking about this for some time.
Yes.
And you will get the ability to trade future draft picks, which is a recipe for disaster if mismanaged. But if managed effectively, and we can tell you now, Luffy, the good clubs will nail this to the wall. And the poor clubs will get left carrying the can again.
So is there a danger then that this could get that gap between the haves and the have-nots?
I mean, it's all about intel. It's all about making the right decisions. And you can't legislate or administrate for that. You've just got to say, here's the system.
Yep.
You know, make do what you can. And you'd expect the clubs at the bottom of the ladder to be more aggressive in getting more first-round picks so they can actually rebuild quite quickly and maybe trading out some talent or doing something constructive with their picks. Like we saw the Crows last year give up pick 10 to go to 14 to get a high second round pick. Those sorts of things. You'll see more of that, and it'll force clubs to be more aggressive in the marketplace now. And I really enjoy the spectacle of the NFL draft. It goes for a couple of days, and that's what we're looking to get to with the AFL system. Trading in draft is something quite exciting. All of a sudden, bang. What's the movie again?
The Draft.
The Draft.
Kevin Costner.
I haven't seen it yet.
Luffy's watched all of his movies. Really enjoyed
Waterworld.
But The Draft
Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves.
Could it take any longer? Be longer than a 2-day draft. So,
I think this is huge news. Not your Waterworld, but huge news that you can trade future draft picks.
Yeah, well, that's the commission meeting the CEOs today, the AFL meeting the CEOs today, so we'll learn more about that through the afternoon, you would think.
Let's give some credit to Brisbane, who I've always thought they're a very good football side. They've been on the wrong end of some losses this year. There's no question about that.
No, Mick, they're not.
They're a very good football team. Is he watching the same Brisbane I'm watching?
No, he got caught in a rough spot there. He couldn't get out, and he had to say something nice, and that's where he landed with that one. That's shies and worthy, because they're not a very good footy team at the moment. They're far from that.
Even Leopard doesn't think they're a good footy team. He's coaching them.
No, that's certainly a nomination, I reckon, for shies, and that's well played by you, Kingy. Good find on Pure Footy this afternoon for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway. Thanks to our good friends, of course, at Champion Data, Berries Online, and JPC Carpentry. Boys, it's been another big week of analysis from you boys. I'm looking forward to you absorbing all the information across this week in round 7 action and finding some more gems and nuggets of gold for our listeners out there next week. Thanks for coming in.
On you, mate.
Thanks, Daniel.
David King, world's greatest footy analyst, Glenn Luff, the reluctant hero, every Thursday from midday on Halftime.